of God, and I thank you for being here today. Amen. Because God has something for you today, no matter what you feel like, no matter what you look like. We're going to have a good time today. I had a great time last week, if you were here, you may remember. Wonderful, wonderful time. And it's not going to take much for me to be there again. Amen. Wow, I didn't even try. Amen. Wow, this is amazing. This is so fast. Just a sip, a dabble, do you? Amen. Philippians 1:5. I want to share on the offering today. Out of the Amplified. I don't know if CJ, if you have the Amplified. I'm not sure if I put it in there as the Amplified, but I know how good you are, and you're going to find out. Philippians 1:5, as we share on the offering, I want to welcome those online as well. God has some powerful things for you today. He's been speaking to me, and we have the best church. We have the best church, and I want to talk to you about that in Philippians 1:5, and I'm actually going to read it off of my phone because that's the Amplified. But verse 3 starts out, I thank my God in every remembrance of you. This is Paul speaking to the church at Philippi. Here comes the plane. Always offering every prayer of mine with joy and with specific requests for all of you. Thanking God. Here we go. Verse 5. Thanking God for you, for your participation and partnership, both your comforting fellowship and gracious contributions in advancing the good news regarding salvation from the first day you heard it until now. I love the Amplified because it reveals what partnership is. And if you don't know what a partnership is, when you're in a partnership, it's not just about you, but you are a part of it. And what I mean by that is in the kingdom of God and even in this church, you guys have partnered with us, partnered with the vision, partnered with each other, partnered with the kingdom of God. And that's an amazing thing because in partnership, there's power. There's unity. There's oneness. When you get married, you're in partnership together. It's not one and done. It's not one person is the marriage. It's combined. You become one flesh, but that's partnership, and there's power in that. One will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000. Partnership has power. And when you're together, like New Freedom is, and you're in unity, there is power here. Amen. Because the body comes together in partnership. Partnership is not executed if both parties are not working. They both have to work for partnership to be in operation. And Paul realized this. In the book in Philippians, the whole book is talking about the blessing of partnership. So when you take scriptures out like, God shall supply all of my needs, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory, the only way you can quote that in your life is if you're in partnership with that God. Amen. Many people pull scriptures out, but they don't understand how for that scripture to operate, you must be in partnership with the scripture and with the God that can supply all of your needs. And we're in partnership with him. And there's many listening around the world online. You're in partnership, and I thank you for that. Because what is this partnership in the kingdom of God doing? Regarding the advancing of the good news. The kingdom of God and church is about pushing and moving forward, amen, advancing the good news of Jesus Christ. So if you're partnering with a church, with a ministry, amen, or a missionary, they need to be advancing the gospel. Amen. It is not the kingdom of God if they're not advancing the gospel. If souls are not being saved through a ministry or through a church, it's not advancing the good news. Amen. And that's the partnership Paul's talking about. But it even goes farther and it says participation. So you can have a silent partner. Anybody hear of a silent partner? You don't really hear much from them, but they fund what you're doing. Nobody's heard of a silent partner. Okay, one person, praise God. All right, well, the kingdom of God does not work that way. They don't have silent partners. Every partner participates in the kingdom of God. Amen. And that's what makes New Freedom awesome, is because when we do things and we're going to have a picnic and it's not all on me. Amen. There's many people going to be at my house doing things for the kingdom of God, preparing for the fellowship and friendship and fun together, while I may be ministering, having fun up here, praying with someone. That's partnership. Amen. Going out and doing outreaches together, partnership, participation. Amen. And there's blessing in that. And participation is more than just showing up. How many has been around someone that like, I was there, but they did nothing? I showed up. All I need to do is show up to church. No, you need to participate. And how do you participate in church? You put your faith in your giftings out. You release of what God's given you. So you release your faith in God, and then you activate it through your works. Amen. And you release the gift as the part of the body that you're placed into. So I am releasing my gift by faith here this morning. And when I pray with you, when I lay hands on you, when I minister the gospel, I am believing God that what I am ministering, the power and the anointing of God is going to be upon it, and it's going to bring change to your life. As a pastor, to shepherd you. Amen. That's my participation this morning. What's yours? What's your participation? Amen. I'm not going to say that. What's your participation in partnership with New Freedom? Because Paul was so thankful. He prayed daily for those that were in partnership and participation with him. And get this, we quote verse 6 all the time. I am convinced and confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will continue to perfect and complete it until the day of Christ Jesus, the time of his return. So the advancing of the kingdom will continue in your life as long as you are partnering and participating with God. Amen. Amen. There's a key to God continuing to move and flow in your life. You partner with him. You partner with the body of Christ. You partner with a church. Amen. You partner with ministries, and it causes the kingdom to advance not only around you, but in you. Amen. If you want increase of the kingdom in your life, if you want increase of finances in your life, you need a partner with God. God is the one that will advance. Yes. Amen. Amen. Some sow, others water, but God gives the increase. Amen. Sowing is partnering. Yes. Watering is partnering. Yes. Amen. Prayer is partnering. Yes. Amen. And it allows God to start moving in what you're sowing into and what you're believing for. So when you release your faith in God, you're partnering with the creator of heaven and earth, and it allows God, the all-powerful one, to start moving in your life. That's the power of partnership. And we can sit back and say, well, I'm doing all right on my own. You're not doing all right. You've been deceived, because there's much more that God has for you that you can't even see. But through partnership and through participation, God will move mountains for you. Amen. Amen. I felt to share that for the offering this morning. Pastor Dave, yes. Whatever you're talking about.
I did not know what Pastor David's message was going to be on for offering, and I forgot to share Haiti and Nick Robinson Ministries. And so when he started, I was like, praise God, that's exactly what we need. So Pastor David's talking about partnering, and I want to give you a testimony about Haiti. We're going to put the pictures up there. They're not going to be live, and I'm not going to say the church name. But many of you know that we partner with a church in Haiti. And Pastor David, you were talking about partnering. And I had just had that scripture in James 1:27. It says, pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their adversity, and to keep oneself unsustained by the world. 2 weeks ago, I didn't even announce it, but the church in Haiti had reached out. They wanted to do something for the children. They're doing like kind of like a vacation Bible school, but they just wanted to, you can see they bought them a little pool. They were so excited. And they said, we just want to feed them and do something fun with them. Well, I had kind of forgotten about it. And he sent me another message. Pastor, please don't forget. Yes, I won't forget. So I just said to Pastor David, this is the number in my spirit. Let's just send it, be done. Well, what I didn't know was that week in the offering was almost the exact amount that I had in my spirit that somebody gave for Haiti without even knowing that we were sending money to Haiti. So praise God. So we partner with Haiti. We're helping them. We haven't gotten pictures of them going to school yet because many of you know, I can't even remember the number of kids that we sponsored at this point to go to school, but the government has shut down school there right now. Many of you know there's a lot of unrest in Haiti right now. So they haven't been able to go to school, but he says as soon as they do, they're going to send us pictures. And then the other pictures we have, we partner with Nicholas Robinson Ministries. Here we go. Many of you know Evangelist Nick. I forgot my phone. Can you hand me your phone? Sorry. And pull that text up I just sent you. So we partner with Evangelist Nick, and they are in Canada right now. And at the last meeting, which was in Winnipeg, night one, they had 30 people, and by night four, they had 68 people. So it doubled, and they had three people that were baptized, and they had many have been touched and healed. And you can actually go on their Facebook. They have a testimony of healings and things like that. They're on their way to the next city, which I can't remember what that is right now. But you can also partner with Nicholas and Robinson Ministries. You can give to them for what they're doing there. So I just wanted to talk about the places that we partner that you can give with too, because as a church, we partner with others too to lift their hands. And so I just wanted to give you that update.
Amen. Amen. Because I forgot to do it. What you don't realize is the kingdom of God is much bigger than your bank account. And partnership is much bigger. So there's money that comes in here that doesn't even really see our account barely but for a second. And then it's going out. It's seed that's going out into the kingdom of God and into ministries and churches that are building and growing. We sow into. We believe in. Amen. Because we believe in partnership. And what you make happen for one, God will make happen for you. So what you're believing for, if you partner with what you're believing for, guess what? That puts the ability for God to start operating on the anointing that's in that. If you're partnered with something that's anointed by God, that anointing will flow into your life as well. Amen. I don't have time to get into that, but anointing is transferable. The power of God, the manifest power of God is transferable. So if you're rubbing shoulders and you get linked up with an anointed businessman, guess what? By default, you are going to be, that anointing is going to come on you as a business person because you are part of who they are. Amen. Joy is transferable. You get around people and partner with people that are full of joy and faith. You are going to get that anointing on you to have the gift of faith and joy unspeakable and full of glory. I get preaching this and I'm going to start laughing. Amen. Because it comes on you because I'm partnered with God that is full of love and full of joy and full of peace. And when you partner with it, you become that. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Ushers, please come. I didn't even offer this. If you need offering envelopes, amen, they're in front of you. Hold on, ushers. Give the people a second. Make sure they have enough time to give. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're listening online, you can see many ways to give. Praise God. Many ways to partner. But don't look at the money amount. I'm telling you, the faith and the partnering. It's the spiritual agreement and the unity together. It's important to know who and what you're partnering with. Amen. Don't be moved on your emotions. All right. Don't be moved on your emotions or kind words or desperation or even need. Don't be moved based off a need. Don't give grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. You partner because you want to partner. You make a decision. By faith, I'm going to partner. Because when you do that, That decision of I desire and I release my faith to partner, that's what's going to carry you through if hiccups come and struggles come, because you made a declaration and a decision that I'm going to partner. Amen. Partnership has power because it goes both ways. Amen. You're given to God, but God's given to you. It's a wonderful deal to partner with heaven. It's wonderful. Hallelujah. And I'm giving you the opportunity this morning. Do what the Lord's asking you to do. Amen. Maybe he's asking for a monthly partnership. Amen. This is above your tithe and your, this is an offering. Amen. Hallelujah. Go ahead, ushers. Everybody knows that, you know, giving and sowing isn't only on Sunday morning at a certain time when the pastor, you know, brings it up. You can sow. The Lord can, he can cause you to go to another town and use someone else's donkey to help the Lord navigate. He can loose things for you. The Lord may speak to you throughout the week to give something. We got blessed with a grill, but it wasn't on Sunday morning. If you only limit your giving to Sunday morning, you may only limit your blessing for Sunday morning. Thank you, brother. Hallelujah. Cheerful. You can bow your heads. Heavenly Father, those listening online as well, we're in agreement with you. Be in agreement with us together by faith. Partnering together to see the gospel advance. To see souls saved, lives changed, marriages healed, families restored. Oh, hallelujah. Father, I thank you that you're doing a great and mighty work, Father God. Lord, I thank you for revival in the land. A stirring. Hallelujah. You're drawing people unto you in the mighty name of Jesus, Father. I thank you for the blood that washes us clean. I thank you for the blood that makes a way and restores fellowship with you, Lord. Thank you for each and every person that has partnered with New Freedom Church. Thank you that it's good ground that's going to produce a hundredfold return. I thank you for that now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So be it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Are you ready to receive this morning? Amen. I'm believing some of you have received already. But today's message is called Closing the Gap. Closing the Gap. And the Lord spoke this to me, but before I get into it, he gave me a word to prepare the people. Preparation. That's what keeps speaking to my spirit this week is preparation. Prepare the people. When you prepare something, it's something that's in your ability to do. What do I mean by that? When the Lord spoke to me to prepare the people, he's gifted me and equipped me as a shepherd to prepare the people. But he's also given you gifts and abilities in his word and his spirit to prepare you. You say, well, what are we preparing for? For his kingdom. We're preparing for heaven. We're preparing for Jesus to return for the church. It's preparation time. And he just wanted me to share briefly with you just these few words that it is in your hand. It is in your ability. Something you already have. When you prepare a cake, when you prepare a cake, it takes different ingredients. But you have to get all those ingredients to the place where you can put them together. You have to prepare them. You have to arrange them in an order and in a way that will make the cake be what it needs to be. Edible, right? And if you don't prepare, what happens? What if you leave things out, even if it's not a key ingredient like flour? What if you leave sugar out and it's flour only? It may look like a cake. It may feel like a cake, but it won't taste like a cake. That's right. Amen. But God wants to prepare his body. We're living in a time that the Lord is speaking strongly to me to prepare the people. Get them ready. They have what they have need of. And as soon as I started praying into that, he gave me this word, close the gap. Close the gap. Everything that the Lord is doing is preparing his church in his creation. Even the earth travails and groans. Amen. Even the earth is moving and shaking on the coming of the Lord. And I'm telling you, the enemy wants nothing more than to bring separation, and God wants nothing more than to seal the deal and close the gap. And everything you can think of in the natural, if there's separation, it's not good. But when it's sealed and it's closed, there's healing and there's provision. Think of a cut on your arm. You can get stitches and pull it together and tighten it up, but it has to heal from the inside out to bring true healing. And then the stitches you can take out. They're no longer needed because you closed the gap and it's healed from the inside out. And that's what the Lord is speaking to me concerning the church and you as a believer, is he wants to close this gap. And he's going to start with your spirit, he's going to work with your mind and the soul, and then he's going to finish up with the body. And guess what? We're all in a work here, and there will be a day when we receive our glorified body, when we are resurrected. Amen. And we are perfect. We receive glorified bodies. But till then, we got to close the gap. There's areas that we need to work on as believers. We need to focus in on God and bring things closer together. Last week I talked about the lid, amen, taking the lid off. But today I want to talk about closing the gap. Ephesians 1:13 or 1:12. CJ, you don't have this. This came to me upstairs. Things just come to you. Just prepare yourself. Things will come to you. Ephesians 1. Verse 12, it says, God's purpose, this is New Living Translation, God's purpose was that we Jews, who were the first to trust in Christ, would bring praise and glory to God. And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised, and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify him. New King James says, sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's closing the gap. The Holy Spirit is the gap filler. The Holy Spirit is like the mortar in a block building or a brick building. The Holy Spirit seals it together. But when you start studying this out, that seal there is really a stamp of approval. Okay, like a seal, like a signet ring or a stamp, like a stamp of incorporation. You are sealed. You are stamped with the Holy Spirit. Like, what am I thinking of? My mind's trying to catch up with my spirit. Give me a second. It's like an animal that they... brand. There you go. They brand. You know whose it is as soon as you see that brand. And nobody can do anything about it. You can try to steal. The enemy is trying to steal the children of God, but you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. And when you know that, there's no gap in your life. There's no, I don't know if I'm saved or not. You're sealed. You are a child of the Most High God. And this is preparing you. I'm sharing with you because a lot of people struggle whether they're saved or not, or whether they're going to heaven or not. But when you read Scripture, the Holy Spirit was given to seal you, a guarantee that you're redeemed when Jesus returns. Guaranteed. I'm bypassing your flesh. I'm bypassing your minds. I'm speaking to the heart, where Jesus works. The Holy Spirit has bypassed. When you ask Jesus in, notice what it says here. And now you Gentiles, that's you and I. We were Gentiles, okay? Greeks, sinners, have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you, delivers you, heals you. Amen. Hear that. Get that on the inside of you. And when you believed in Christ, how many believers we have here? Oh, guess what? This is for you. This is for you. He identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit. So your identity is by the Holy Spirit. You are identified as a child of God by the Holy Spirit. So as believers, I want to know more and more about the Holy Spirit. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. I want to hear the Holy Spirit. I want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I want to walk and talk. Me and the Holy Spirit. No gap. I don't want anything between me and the Holy Spirit. I love you. But I want the Holy Spirit closer. Because the ability to love my wife, I can't have any gap with me and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Same thing with heaven. I don't have a question whether I'm going to heaven or not because there's no gap between the Holy. I'm identified with Christ. I am a child of God. I am the redeemed of the Lord. Let the redeemed say so. I am saved. Amen. And I tell people, I'm born again. I'm a child of the Most High God. There's no question. There is no gap or separation of me having to try to earn my salvation and get closer to God. How can you get closer than a seal on your heart, on the inside of you by the Holy Spirit? There's nothing that can take that away. Amen. Amen. The only thing is for you to deny the Holy Spirit, and the very one that sealed you, you rebel from. You hear me? That's the only way. The unpardonable sin is to say no to the Holy Ghost and deny his existence and deny what he did in your life. If you slip and you sin in your flesh, that does not kick you out of heaven. Amen. You're sealed on the inside. You got to repent because by sinning, you're sowing discord and you're going to reap discord in your life. So it's better to repent so your flesh doesn't have to go through negative things based off of your separation with your flesh. But your spirit isn't separated. It's sealed. Hear me. This will help you sleep at night. Amen. People struggle with this thing. I'm telling you, when you read the scripture, by giving you the Holy Spirit whom he promised long ago, the Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased. You're bought. You're bought. You're purchased with a price. Amen. And the price was the blood of Jesus. Purchase us to be his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify him. That is why our life as a Christian should be praising and glorifying God. When you know what Jesus did for you and he sealed you and you have eternal life, every day is a great day. You're not moved by what the day holds in the natural. You know on the inside, you're a child of God. Eternity in heaven is your home. We praise God. Why do we praise him? We don't praise and worship God enough, to be honest with you. That's just a type of praise and worship. Our daily life should be a praise and worship to God, giving glory to God, thanking God. Rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Why all this based off of this scripture? Based off of knowing that you're sealed by the Holy Spirit? There's no gap between you and heaven? Amen. I experience heaven on earth. Why? Because there's no gap. I'm a child of who? God. God is he's the creator of heaven and earth. You're going to see here in Colossians 1, we're going to go there. Let's go to Colossians 1. I'm going to start in verse 15. But you're going to see something here. I believe you're going to run out of here. You say, I haven't run in years. Your spirit will be running. Your flesh may be working on keeping up. All right, but your spirit is going to be lifted, excited, jumping for joy. And your mind and your flesh will be like, what is going on? But when you get this word in you today, you are going to be walking and leaping and praising God like never before. Because the enemy's been lying to you and the church has been taking the bait, and I'm destroying the bait. I'm destroying the trap. I'm destroying all that through the word of God. It's going to be in you so strongly that you're going to run out of here excited to praise and worship God. Your praise will not be limited any longer. Your worship will not be limited any longer. You're not going to look at what it looks like around you to base your worship off of when you know what's on the inside of you. And guess what? It's already in you now and you don't even know it. But when you get a hold of something, just think if you knew that there was $1 million check written in your name. You didn't know it yet, but it was already done. How would you act if you knew it was yours when you figured out that it was yours? You understand what I'm saying? Like, what if it's yours, but you just don't know it yet? What if there's a freedom for you that's already done, but you don't even know it? You're living based off of a lie that you're bound still, or you're not good enough still. But what if there's something that's already done, you just don't know it, but you need to, by faith, you start acting like it's yours already. What a wonderful thing. Man, we must live like we live in heaven, because heaven is our home. We're not of this world. We're of a heavenly kingdom. We need to be acting like we are. Heaven's glorious, full of worship, full of joy, no hatred, no sin. Start living like that. Amen. You're going to see it. You're going to see it. Colossians 1, verse 15. I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation. Again, the title is Closing the Gap. Whew. Verse 15. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. I have a tendency to start reading the Bible and getting stuck. Meaning, I read it and I get excited over like two words. And I just stay there and it's like, just read five verses for the people and then talk about it. But I can't do that. When I read that, Christ is the visible image. Christ was literally came down on earth so we could see the kingdom of heaven. He is the image of heaven here on the earth. So when you read the Gospels, you're seeing heaven in operation in visible form. And if people say, well, I don't believe what Jesus did, you are far from the kingdom of heaven. Because Jesus was sent to be the visible image of an invisible God. Amen. And when you have Christ on the inside of you and you live like a child of God, people will see the kingdom of God through you. Amen. You will become a visible image of heaven to people that cannot see God. You may be that very one in your family that is a visible representation of Christ. Amen. That they're trying to find that's invisible to them. It's powerful. Powerful. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. So Jesus was there at the very beginning. If you're wondering about Jesus was only here 33 and a half years, no, Jesus was here at the very beginning of creation. Amen. That's the word. There's no gap. Amen. Jesus didn't just come and fill in for 33 and a half years because God was taking a break. You understand what I mean? They were together from the beginning. He existed before anything was created. This is the one that lives on the inside of you. I want you to remember that. What I'm reading right here is the same Jesus that you received that lives on the inside of you. So your ability to walk by faith is based off of the visible image living on the inside of you will create you to be a kingdom-minded, kingdom operation person. You understand what I mean? That what seems impossible, the one that lives in you can make it possible through you. You hear what I'm saying? You can overcome things that the world can't overcome because the visible image of the kingdom of heaven lives on the inside of you. Amen. There's no distance in the spirit realm. Amen. What God is doing in you, if you allow it, He can do it through you. You can do the same works that Jesus did. The Bible says in greater works. Why? Because of who lives on the inside of you. Amen. That's why every prayer we pray in the name of Jesus. Why? Because we can't do it on our own. But the one that can lives on the inside, and that's who we're pulling on that every name must bow to. When you understand this, there's no gap. You don't have to be moved by what you see, by what you feel, because there's a God living on the inside of you that existed before anything was created. Yeah. It gets a lot better if you don't think that's, and is supreme over all creation. Whatever you see does not have more power than what lives on the inside of you. Anything you see in creation, anything they can cook up in a lab and try to put on you, the Lord is supreme. Yeah. Supreme is the top of the top, the very best. When you are a supreme grand champion, show whatever, you won the whole thing. You beat everybody. Supreme is, when you get a supreme pizza, you get everything on it. Amen. I'm putting it on terms that everybody can grab a hold of. So whether you're all about food or whether you're about showing animals, supreme is the best. In the spirit realm, the supreme authority in the spirit realm is Jesus Christ. The name above every name. He lives in you. He lives in you. He lives in you. The one that created all things and is supreme over everything lives in you. There's no gap in your heart between Jesus and your heart, spirit to spirit. See, the problem lies is when we separate from that and we allow our thinking or our flesh to get in between the creator of heaven and earth in our heart. When we allow other things to get in between the Holy Spirit and our spirit. But if we can keep that area, close that gap, and keep it sealed, we can walk in the miraculous. We can walk in the supernatural based off of who lives on the inside of us. This is powerful. I'm believing it's getting on the inside of you. Some of you are looking at me like, that's above my pay. Man, I don't know if I can get a hold of that. Your spirit already has it. Your faith will grab a hold of it and you'll start walking in it. That's why I can stand here and say, I can see wonderful works. I can see great business people before me. I can see people that will run Fortune 500 companies. I can see people that will have ministries far greater than I've ever done sitting right here in front of me. The potential is limitless because of who lives on the inside of you. The supreme over all creation. So it doesn't matter if your cousin or your father was the worst of the worst. It doesn't matter how far someone is away or how far they are from God. Supreme over all creation. There's enough power to pull someone that's 5,000 miles away and bring them right to the feet of Jesus. Jesus has that power. As long as someone will yield to it, that power is like the strongest magnet beyond that'll pull you right in. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what someone's done, how bad they are. None of that matters. When you start understanding, he existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. Anything you see does not have power compared to the supreme God. And he lives in you. So that power, that wonder-working power, that resurrection power that can bring anything to life, even something that is dead, that power lives in you. When you speak to it, life supreme lives in you. Supreme lives in you. Verse 16, you didn't think you could get this much out of Scripture. I'm still on the first verse. And I'll go home, I'll read that verse, and I'll have a whole nother sermon. That's the living word. That's how big God is. Verse 16, for though him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on the earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. Just because the enemy has hijacked things does not mean God doesn't see them and know what's going on. God is not oblivious. So if the creator, supreme being above everything, knows everything that's going on. By the Spirit, He'll reveal to us what we need to know about every detail in our life. If I'm wondering how to relate to my wife, God has the answer. Because He created me, He created her. No matter what the situation, business deals, how you handle your finances, it doesn't matter. Everything in creation is submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why He can make a new heaven and a new earth. Amen. That's why He can defeat sin and it has no power, because He has supreme authority. The church just needs to know it can walk in that authority too. Sin has no power over you. Sickness has no power over you. Amen. You can curse sickness like that. Bam. Hallelujah. He made things we can see and things we can't see. If you're only basing your life off of what you physically see, you are limiting yourself exponentially. Exponential limitation if you walk through the eyes of the natural. Because there's a realm out there that's unseen, that you cannot understand, is not visible with the natural eye. And the only way to understand it is through Jesus Christ. There's an enemy out there. There is a third of the angels that are against the body of Christ that's out there working. You can't see it with the natural eyes. It's almost like you see the cartoon where the person's getting punched in the face, but nobody's there. That's what happens to people that don't know their authority and don't execute and use the name of Jesus and stand in the rightful place and pray and declare and know the one that lives, that created all of heaven and earth, lives on the inside of them. Notice what it says there. Everything was created through Him and for Him. He existed before anything else, and He holds all creation together. Jesus holds all creation together. You say, well, why does it feel like the world's going to hell? Well, it's because they chose not to follow the Lord. They chose. Satan decided not to follow God and rebel. This is a fallen world that we're living in. This is the whole reason why we need a Savior and we need a Lord. He existed before anything else, and He holds all creation together. See, sin perverts things. Sin causes separation. Whenever you think about sin or something that somebody did or you did in your past, and I don't want you to dwell on this, but I want you to understand something. Anytime there's sin, there's some type of separation that comes along with it. Every time. Every time. If there is a sin, there's a separation. Okay? So if you get offended, guess what? You don't talk to that person you're offended with. Separation. Think about it. Any sin causes separation. And God wants to close that gap. So God sent His Son to defeat sin so there's no separation. Amen. When you get mad about something or you're jealous about something, it causes you to have thoughts that are contrary to healthy thoughts of unity and oneness. That's what sin does. Sin will separate you. And the wages of sin is death, separation, eternal separation from God. That's what sin will cause. Sin is bad. Andrew Womack says it this way, sin is stupid. Why? Who wants anything separated? Nothing is good that's separated. You say, well, I had to get away from that person. I understand that. That's not what I'm meaning here. What I'm meaning is through the kingdom of God, God wants unity. He wants oneness under His headship. There may be separation with friends because that friend is not where they need to be with God. They're toxic. All right? So if there's something that's toxic, you need to separate from it. Sin is toxic. There needs to be separation from it. Amen. But God will fill that. God will fill that. And that's what I'm trying to get to you today by the Spirit of God. Is that God wants to fill the gap. He wants to close the gap, seal the deal. Amen. That's why I started out with your heart is sealed. When you accept the Lord, it's a guarantee, it's a promise. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit. The rest of your life is working on sanctification and understanding about what Christ has done on the inside. That's where we're living right now, is renewing our mind to the truth of God's word and living out God's plan for our lives. Amen. Sanctification. Separating from this world and being filled with the glory of God. Hallelujah. Verse 18. Christ is also the head of the church. So here we go. That was talking about the world around us. Now let's talk about the church, the body of Christ. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning. Here we go again. Supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is the first in everything. There is a divine order in the body of Christ. Jesus is the head. He was the first that was resurrected. And all who follow will be resurrected with him. Amen. There's power in that. There's truth in that. There's assurance in that. Amen. He is the beginning supreme over all who rise from the dead. It's beyond what you can see in the natural. Resurrection power. Praise God. Verse 19, we'll get to where I need to get to eventually. Verse 19, for God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. So God is pleased with Christ. He's pleased with his son. This is my beloved son, the Bible says, whom I am well pleased. And when he said that, he filled him with the Holy Spirit in the River Jordan. And that's when the ministry started taking off. Amen. He's pleased. Guess what? When you understand this truth and you receive and you've been redeemed, God's pleased with you. This is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter in whom I'm well pleased. Amen. You got to see yourself this way. Close the gap. See yourself the way God sees you, not the way your parents or some other relative sees you or your boss sees you. See yourself through the eyes of God. Close the gap. Don't listen to voices that are unbiblical, ungodly. Amen. Don't listen to things that cause separation and division. Seal the deal. Close the gap. Bring healing. For God, in all his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. I won't get into it today, but if people are trying, don't like talking about the blood of Jesus Christ, the gospel is null and void. The power is null and void. It all happened by the blood. There's nothing but the blood of Jesus. If you take the blood out of the gospel, you have a false gospel. The blood is everything. That is what redeemed us from sin, sickness, and disease and gave us eternal life. It is the very thing that washed sin out of our life. It is the very thing that bridged the gap between God and his creation was the blood. And people don't like talking about the blood. They're trying to take it out. They think it's gross. It is gross, but so is your sin. Sin is gross. Sickening. You see what's going on in society. You see lawlessness. That's sin. Sin. Lawlessness is sin. No law. Do what you want to do. Shoot who you want to shoot. Let people out. Let people do whatever they want to do. Whatever they feel, whatever feels good to them, that's sin. There's no authority. There's no foundation. There's no rock to stand on. Anyway, I had to get that out there. The blood. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood. So peace comes through the blood. No peace, no blood. Jesus isn't the center of it. God is peace, and he brings his peace to our lives through the blood. That's what makes communion so powerful. That's what makes the resurrection so powerful. That's what makes the cross so powerful. It's the blood. Verse 20 again. And through him, God reconciled. What does the word reconcile mean? Complete harmony. Bring back to the original state. So the blood, when you receive the blood of Jesus into your life, it takes you back and brings you to harmony with God. Complete harmony with God. He sees you as perfect. washed clean, white as snow. Amen. That's what the blood does. Amen. That's you and I. That's the church. That's the power of the blood. Amen. Reconciled, bring back to the original state. In Genesis, it says that God said to Adam and Eve, dress and keep the garden, right? You know what that means? Dress and keep means to watch over and take care of the garden. Enjoy what I created for you. That's where the Christian should be living, that's bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. This earth, if we're being moved by what's happening, we're missing the harmony that God intended. You can have harmony on this earth because you're of a different kingdom. Take care of and watch over my creation. That's what we're called to do, to take care of the earth. I mean, I'm not saying get caught up in, you know, having to recycle everything and watch all, pick up all the trash on the side. It's not, that's not what I'm meaning. What he's saying is when you are to dress and keep the garden, take care of and what? Spiritually take authority over the realm in which I placed you. Make sure you watch over it with the authority of your heavenly Father and do what I'm asking you to do. So the church is called to dress and keep, watch over and take care of the creation that's here. And it's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual thing that we're facing because sin entered in. Once sin entered in, there was separation between Adam and Eve and God, right? Sin separates. But Jesus came, the second Adam, to bring fellowship back. And every single believer that accepted Jesus and is a believer, there's no more separation. You're back in harmony with God. It's a powerful thing. When you realize that sin has no power over you, none, because you have harmony with God. But it has to come through Jesus. It's not based off of your works. You cannot have harmony with God based off of how many times you come to church. Or how many Hail Marys you say. Or how many times you read through the Bible. That doesn't bring harmony with God. What brings harmony with God is being washed clean by the blood of Jesus. And knowing that you're clean. That's the problem. People accept the Lord. They believe they're made clean. And then they try to work out staying clean in their own power. It doesn't work that way. You keep applying the blood. You keep going to the cross. You understand that Jesus paid for you. The Supreme One is the one you need to be under. Not a ministry or not anything in the natural realm. You got to be in the presence of God. Amen. And stay in the presence of God. Amen. Stay in the presence of God. Verse 21. This is where I wanted to get to. Thank you, Lord. This includes, here we go. You need to put your name in this. These next two verses say you about 8 times. And he's talking about the church. So he's talking about you. So your name, if you have your Bible, you can write your name next to you if you're a child of God. Watch this now. Paul says, this includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. All of us, at one point in our lives, were separated from God. Far from him. And King James says, you have enmity with God, which is hatred and enemy. You're an enemy of God. That's the world. The world is an enemy, is in contradiction with God. Because of sin. There is a separation. And when there is a separation, then you're going against what God wants to do. Let me try to explain it better. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. So our thoughts and our actions are what separate us from God. Where does sin work? Thoughts and actions. So when we put our thoughts in subjection to God and our actions under the word of God and only do what he says to do, guess what? There's no separation. You're not far from God. If you're wondering why you're far from God, it's probably either your thoughts are not renewed or you're living in sin. It brings separation. But when you repent, all of a sudden you have fellowship again. Why is that? That scripture right there. You who were once afar off, you feel far off because you feel like you're in sin or you're doing something or your mind's not renewed. Sin only works. It doesn't say anything about your spirit. Why? Because your spirit's sealed. Jesus lives in your spirit. The things of the world and spiritual darkness cannot live in your spirit if God is in your spirit. God and the enemy cannot cohabitate. You understand what I'm saying? A child of God cannot be possessed by a demon. They can be oppressed. What's that mean? Pressure from the outside, in your thoughts, in your physical realm. But they cannot possess your vessel, your spirit, man, because God is there. So if we can renew our minds and act right based off of what we know, we're close to God. We close the gap. That's in our power. Do you realize this? Well, you know when I talk about preparing the people, preparation is in your own ability and in your hand. When you get born again, it's in your power by the Holy Spirit to renew your mind and put your body in subjection to what's on the inside. That's the part that we need to play, church. God did the heavy lifting. He got the sin out of your life. Amen. He got the darkness out of your life. He gave you a new heart made and created by Him. And it's up to us now to close the gap, to renew our mind, get our stinking thinking out of the way, and start living on a path holy and righteous to God. See, we're made righteous, but then we got to walk out our righteousness. There's a book by E.W. Kenyon called Two Kinds of Righteousness. And that's what it talks about. You're made righteous. But righteous is not only right standing before God, but it's right living before God. And that's where we need to get the job done on our part, is the right living part in subjection to what's going on the inside. Because you're made right. You're made perfect in His image. We made man in our image, in our likeness. Amen. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, birds of the... You have the kingdom in you. You just got to make sure you know that it's in you. And that's my job to help you get there. Amen. By preaching and teaching and preparing you. Does this make sense? Are you getting a hold of this? You who were once far away from God, we were all there. But as soon as we accepted Jesus... The gap was filled. No gap between our relationship with our Creator. We're right at the feet of Jesus when we accept Him. We're right in the presence of God the moment we accept Jesus Christ. And if there's anyone here listening online, you've never asked Jesus into your heart, there's a gap. There's a gap in your spirit that only God can fill. And people are filling it with everything of the world to make them feel better. But you can't. Only God can fill that place, because it has to be God to get the desired result. The blood of Jesus has to be applied. If it's not the blood of Jesus, if it's only the blood of goats and lambs like the Old Testament, it's only an atonement. It's only a covering for a short time. But when you accept the blood of Jesus, you are made whole. It is a finished work. He is the final sacrifice. He paid it all. There's no sin that's too big for God. When you accept His blood, He's supreme over all sin. He'll manage it. He already did when He was resurrected. Man, I'm putting this in you. I'm pumping you with the Word of God so your faith grabs a hold of it and says, yes, that's for me. That's who I am. That's who I am. That's who you are. Let's keep going. You were His enemies, separated from Him by your evil thoughts and actions. So if you have an evil thought or you want to do something evil, I'm telling you, it's going to separate you from God. Your fellowship is not going to be there because you're going to yield to your flesh. And the moment you yield to your flesh, there's separation. But the moment you repent, the gap's closed. That's how it works as a believer. Confess your sin. He's faithful and just to forgive you, cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So we can mess up, and God's that good that if we mess up, He already paid for our mess up. Even your future mess up, He already paid for. You close the gap, you're in right relationship with Him. Amen. It's a wonderful thing. God did everything for us. We just need to receive it. We just need to receive it. You just need to receive it. You say, is it that easy? Yes. Yes, it's that easy. Even a farmer from Crumpton figured it out. He figured it out. I got it. I'm telling you, I got it. I am free. Hallelujah. And so are you. And so is the ability for all creation to be free is available. That's why soul winning is so important to me. People just don't know they're free. I'm coming to tell them you're free. You're free. Your soul has been paid for. The blood has been applied already. Amen. Your sins are already forgiven. You just haven't heard about it. There is a place for you in heaven. Amen. Every single person out there has a place in heaven. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I can't read this and sit back and say, well, it's good for me. Hope it's all right for the rest of you. Figure it out on your own. I can't do that. And I can't allow my flesh to get so excited about what I want done in this life that I forget about people's souls. I have to make time. You say, well, this is just a preacher thing. No. Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel is written to disciples. Written to everybody. You say, why are you on this high horse? Because the time is short. Jesus' return is very close. Prophetically, it could happen any time. It could be in the twinkling of an eye, like that. You could be listening to me preaching, and then we all be caught up in the next before I get the next word out. That's how close it is. And there's hundreds of thousands, millions of people going to hell. And I'm like, well, I'm worried about my hobby and what I need to eat for dinner tonight. I'm telling you, this is important. This is vital. People's eternity is in the balance. And if I'm looking at myself, self, and what I need out of this life and not branching out or allowing my spirit to be broken for those that do not know what I know, shame on me. So we give you a time to go soul winning this Saturday. That's my plug. Amen. Come get trained Wednesday. Anybody, this is for anybody. Even if you're in Haiti, fly. We'll start. Leave this afternoon. You'll get here by Wednesday. Amen. Get here. If you're part of another church or you have a friend that's part of another church and you guys want to do it together, bring them Wednesday night. This is the kingdom of God. This isn't a new freedom thing. Soul winning is not just a new freedom thing. Soul winning is the kingdom of God. Amen. I called like 8 pastors. And I called. I did my part. Whether they respond to me or not, I did my part. And I'm making it available for anyone that wants to be trained and wants to feel comfortable sharing their faith. And this today will cause you to share your faith. When you realize that the blood, the supreme above all creation, lives on the inside of you, you don't have a care in the world. What are you bothered by? What are you bothered by that's bigger than God? Nothing. Your finances are not bigger than God. Your bills are not bigger than God. Amen. Don't laugh. It's not funny. Verse 22. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought who? You. Into his own presence. You've been brought into his own presence. You and Jesus together. What greater thing is that? Everything around me, just me and Jesus. The supreme being that was part of all creation. Him and I have relationship together. Woo! What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing. All my limitations, all my inabilities are just washed by the wayside, and I just come to the feet of Jesus. Whew, man, heaven's going to be awesome. I'm just preparing for heaven. So, me and Jesus, whew. He's reconciled. He has complete harmony in you. You have complete harmony with God through Jesus Christ. Complete harmony. To himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence. And you, put your name there, are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a what? Single fault. Woo! Glory to God. Get a hold of that. You don't have any fault in you. There's no sin in you. That has been broken off of you. Your body just has a hard time figuring it out because it's so used to sinning. But your spirit's got it. Your spirit wants to worship God. Your spirit wants to praise God. It wants to come to church. But you wake up Sunday morning, your flesh is like, oh man, this bed feels good. I don't want to get out of bed. And you come up with excuses and reasons. Amen. You come up with those things. But your spirit needs and desires to worship God. When you know you're holy and blameless as you stand before Him without a single fault, that gives you a place, a realm of authority that a lot of people in the body of Christ, in the church, do not understand. Notice this. You're holy and blameless as you stand before Him. People think they can't even stand before Him. I can't even talk to God. I'm not worthy. You don't know your Bible. The blood of Jesus made you blameless to stand before Him. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Enter His courts with praise. Why? Because you've been made free. You are blameless. You say, well, I don't look blameless, neither do I. I don't feel blameless, sometimes I don't either. But it doesn't change the fact of what Jesus did. You think my feelings stand against the blood of Jesus? Huh, no. If you couldn't answer that question, no. They don't. None of us are good enough. We all fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. But notice, as a result, He has brought you into His own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before Him without a single fault. I love New Living Translations. Without a single fault. It even gets better. Everybody say better. Better. Oh man, there's even more. Verse 23, but you must, here we go. This is the part that everybody pulls back from, because this is a part that we play. Everybody say, I can do it. Okay, there you go. You already confessed and declared that you can do it. So whatever I read, you already can do it. Okay? Do you see how that works? You already confessed it. You can do it. You can do it. All right. But you must continue to believe. So the fault that you feel at times is based off of you sticking with believing. When you stop believing, there's a gap. When you stop believing, you don't feel good enough. When you stop believing in the one that paid the price for you and blood was shed for you, that washed you and cleansed you, when you stop believing in the good news of Jesus Christ, there's separation. And you think you're not good enough. And that's why people think they're not good enough. One person got that. Praise God. But you must continue to believe this truth. What truth? The very thing He said, that you are holy and blameless as you stand before Him without a single fault. God made you holy and blameless without a thought because God sees you through the blood of Jesus. And if you can believe that you're washed clean by the blood of Jesus, you are faultless. You are pure, white as snow. And that's what Jesus is coming back for. A blameless church. Not a perfect church. Not you that we're all perfect in our own ability. No, we all mess up. And we continue to mess up at times. But He's coming for the ones that continue to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And continually are cleansed by the word of God in the blood of Jesus. That's what He's coming for. Not you physically being glorified and perfect. He's coming for the ones that are submitted and under the blood. Amen. And that's what makes you perfect. And God cannot see a blemish on you because the blood has washed it and cleansed it. And that's what you need to believe. That's the good news of the gospel. It's not about how many even souls you got saved or what your ministry following is. That has nothing to do with it. You can have 50 million people following your ministry and your YouTube channel, but if your life is not under the headship of Jesus Christ, you got a problem. And it's a big spiritual problem you got going on. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. Maybe it's convicting people. I believe it's encouraging you. Amen. Because this isn't hard to do. This is a decision to believe. that it's truly yours. If you can believe that this is yours, that what Jesus did is for you, you're blameless. I don't have to physically figure this out. I have to believe it's for me. That's it. God gave us a brain and decision making to say yes to Jesus. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. You shall be washed clean, white as snow. Man, I got a hold of that. This sermon came from my daughter. She read these two verses to me, and my spirit just jumped all over it. Like, I'm taking that. That's the sermon. That's the Lord right there. So be ready when people say something to you about the Lord. It may speak directly to you. Amen. Verse 23, but you must continue to believe. You guys all confess that you're going to get a hold of this. All right. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Standing firmly in it. That's the fight of faith. Standing, when you stand firmly in something, you don't back away from it. You don't shy away from it. You don't question it. You stand in it. You stand in what Jesus, you want to be a soul winner, you got to get this in your spirit. When somebody cusses you or makes fun of your gospel or who you serve, or that you're a Bible thumper or a pew jumper or a carpet chewer or whatever they want to call you. Yeah, they call me all kinds of things. I don't really care. Because guess what? I'm faultless before God. And that's who I need an answer to. I don't need an answer to anybody. I need an answer to God. Amen. And you say, well, that's prideful, Pastor. No, it's actually very submitted and humble. Because when you understand what Scripture says, you don't want to please anybody but God. But you end up pleasing a lot of people because you're pleasing God. You understand what I'm saying? You actually love people when you love God. Yeah. And you prioritize and you put Him first. Yeah. Closing the gap. I'm telling you, there's so much out there that wants to separate you. But you get the pure foundational truth of the gospel and what Jesus did. It'll set you free and it'll keep you free as long as you say yes and you continue. And what does it say? Stand firmly in it. Tell yourself, body, I don't care what you feel. Mind, I don't care what you're thinking. I am faultless before God, and I'm created in His image. And God loves me because Jesus died for me. No matter what I think, doesn't change the Word of God. That's standing firmly in the truth of God's Word. That, the anointing is right here. Out of the whole sermon, this is where the anointing is. That truth I just said. Your thoughts and your body, the ability to stand firm on God's word, will put your thoughts and your body in the place it needs to be. Amen. Which is submitted to the word of God. Amen. Amen. If you can hold on and stand in that place, you'll get the victory every time. Because you won't have a bad thought may come, but you put the word on and say, that's not for me. I'm washed. You know, somebody says, well, you're not good enough for this job. Well, that's your thoughts. I'm perfect in Christ, and God's got a better job for me. You understand what I'm saying? You don't let the world dictate you. You dictate the world. That's why, here we go, get ready. Somebody's going to grab a hold of this. That is why in these end times, God is going to use the church to raise up business people to fund the gospel. Because the power of God is going to be on them, and the anointing is going to be on them, because they're going to stand on the word of truth. And the world is going to be failing based off of its own power, but the righteous will stand. And they'll be planted by the water. And they're going to flourish, and their leaves will never go, I almost said go brown. They'll stay green. I'm misquoting the scripture. Amen. But that's what's going to happen, is those who rely on the Lord are going to be able to stand firm in the midst of chaos. And when hell comes at you, you're going to be able to stand, and hell will blow right past you. Amen. And you'll stand firm in the word of God. And it's not out of your ability. It's out of God's power in you gives you the ability to stand. And if you confuse that and you start thinking it's your power, that's pride, and you're going to go down. You're going to have a problem. Okay. That was for somebody. Let's keep going. Last verse here, or two or three. Stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. This is what Paul was talking about with Galatians. So every church here had problems with drifting away. He said, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? You started in the spirit and then you tried to fulfill it in the flesh." That's the same terminology that Paul is speaking here. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. The good news has been preached all over the world, and I, Paul, have been appointed as God's servant to proclaim it. Guess what? I take that verse for myself. I, David Patterson, have been appointed as God's servant to proclaim it. And you need to put your name there too, because you are a proclaimer of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're going to go out and we're going to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the ability to do that, you have to know it for yourself. You have to know it for yourself that the good news is your news. That it's for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't drift away. Do you know things that drift? It's slow. Things that drift are slow. You look, doesn't seem like anything's moving. But all of a sudden, you're a lot farther away. But you couldn't feel it in the moment. That's how the enemy works. When you drift away, you allow other things to slowly creep in. And then all of a sudden, there's a gap. What is drifting away? Drifting away produces a gap from where something was to where it is now. That's drifting away. And that's what the enemy wants to do with the body of Christ, is to drift away from the good news, drift away from the pure word, drift away from the blood, drift away from calling God the Father, drift away with transgenderism and homosexuality. There's parts of the church that are accepting that. That's drifting away. Drifting away, allowing things in the church that are the world. Drifting away. I could go on and on. That's not my message today. But I want you to understand something. God wants it to be you and Him close together, no gap. You function out of that place. That's strong. That's steady. That's anointed. Amen. Steadfast. Close the gap. Wow. Thank you, Lord. I preach way beyond my sermon. Thank you, Jesus. Let me close with this. James 4. James 4. I'm believing you're getting something out of this, or you got something out of this, and you're going to continue to get something out of this. You will have to re-listen to this message, because I said a lot that is deep. James 4, 7. I'm reading this because the title of the message is Closing the Gap, and I'm going to end with this. It says, "So humble yourselves before God." Humility is the quickest way to close a gap with God. Humble yourself. Just get on your face and humble yourself. "Humble yourself before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come close to God," or draw near to God, "and God will draw near," or come close to you. "Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world." Your loyalty is divided. Separation between God and the world. "Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter, and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourself before the Lord, and He will lift you up in honor." I read that because I want you to realize that even right now, no matter where you are, if you could bow your heads, close your eyes, no matter where you are, you're not too far from God. You can draw near to Him, and He will draw near to you. He will meet you where you are. If we could have some instrumental music. Look at that. Instant. Praise God. You can turn it up a little. The Holy Spirit deals with people's hearts, no matter where they are. God created you, and He's supreme in all creation. Every aspect of you know of you, God knows. He knows the good, the bad, and everything in between. He sees all things and knows all things. He's the author and finisher of your faith. And he's here today. I offered it earlier. If you don't know this Jesus, I pray after this message you know him. You come to know him and ask him into your heart. Because this is not just life-changing. It's eternal life-changing. It'll change your life here on earth, but it'll change your future for eternity. His name is Jesus, and he came to die for you and shed his blood on Calvary's cross. A wooden cross. His hands and his feet got a crown of thorns, beaten to a place of being unrecognizable. Blood poured out from many places in his body. So every place in your body can be made whole. He bore it all so you wouldn't have to. He paid it all and reconciled you, redeemed you from the curse of sin and death. There's nothing God can't do. And there's nothing the enemy has done that can keep you from God. So if you're listening online or you're here today and you've never asked Jesus into your heart, every head bowed, every eye closed, just lift your hand right where you are. Here today, if you've never asked Jesus into your heart and you'd love to do so. If you're listening online, just lift your hand where you are. If you're driving, pull over. Keep one hand on the wheel. But you can ask this Jesus into your heart. He's paid the price already. He defeated the grave and he rose again. And he did that to give you life and life more abundant. He did that to free you from every sin and every curse, every sickness and every disease. From poverty and lack. Father, I thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved. And it's a simple confession of faith. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross and you rose again, and that you're coming back again for me. I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior. Wash me and cleanse me now. Give me a heart for you, Lord. Take out the stony heart and give me a heart of flesh. I believe in you now and I receive you as Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. You're now born again. You're now a child of God. If you believed in your heart and confessed that. And that same confession works in every area. Even if you're a believer. That's how confessing your sin works. That's how declaring healing over your body works. Jesus! I trust in you. If you have pain or discomfort in your body, if you've been given a bad report, cancer, whatever it is, or pain in your body, no matter what it is, put your hand there by faith on that part of your body and say this confession. Say this prayer. I rebuke this pain. I rebuke this sickness in the mighty name of Jesus. I speak healing upon my body and upon my life. Right now, in Jesus' name, the name above every name. I am healed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What must you do? Believe and stand firm. Believe and stand firm on that word you just confessed. Say, I don't feel anything. Feelings have nothing to do with it. Feelings have nothing to do with it. God's word has power, and it does not return void. Hallelujah. Your healing will manifest itself in Jesus' name. Sickness has to go. If you're dealing with thought patterns, negative thoughts, same thing. I bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Lord, you created me to have pure thoughts. From this day forward, I will think on positive things. I will not entertain negative thoughts. I rebuke those thoughts and I cast them aside. I pull them down. They have no power over me in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. I could stand here and list every other attack that the enemy in this world puts on us, but all you needed to declare is submit to God, resist the enemy, and he shall flee. We just read it in James 4. Resist the enemy, and he shall flee. Resist the enemy, and he shall flee. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for this church, your body. I thank you for each and every heart that is here today. Each and every heart that is listening online. And I declare blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon their life, Father God. I thank you that they are faultless in your sight. Hallelujah. That every sin is broken. Every shortcoming will not come to pass. Every lie of the enemy is broken in the mighty name of Jesus. They will walk free and walk in abundance in the mighty name of Jesus. They are the head and not the tail. They are above and not beneath. They will walk in victory in Jesus' mighty name because you have paid it all. And Father, I thank you that we trust in your Son, Jesus Christ, in every area of our lives. An enemy, I put you on notice. You cannot touch the children of God in Jesus' name. The blood will protect each and every person in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. If you agree with that prayer, say amen. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Colossians is powerful. Well, the Lord has sealed the deal with his blood and by his spirit. So you as children of God, you already have the victory. You already have the victory. Amen? Amen. So walk in it. Stand in it. Worship in it. Dance in it. Shout in it. Leave here never the same. You're victorious because of the blood of Jesus. That's the good news, that Jesus paid it all. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. If you need prayer, you can come up. But other than that, you be blessed. You have the greatest Sunday you've ever had. I know. It's going to be great there too. But if you can't make it to our house, those listening online, are they still online? No, bye. They're gone. They're gone. They gone. Amen. They got their victory. They're running their race. Amen. But for you here, enjoy your day. Enjoy the fellowship. Make time. Come out and be with the family of God. Amen. We love you. Be blessed.